This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Noon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 887-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to be talking with Steve Finnemore today, the head coach of East Lansing High School. And today we're going to be talking about a subject that is a little bit different, maybe even a little bit sensitive to today's game. Steve Finnemore's team is like 6 foot two and no taller, and he's facing a very big team, one of the biggest teams in the area, in Grand Ledge. So how will he combat that? We know most people combat when they play a team that's a lot bigger with his own defense. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work. But we'll see how Steve Finnemore will try to approach his game against Lansing Sexton. So let's bring in our good friend Steve Finnemore. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. I just got off the phone with Bill Russell, and I'm trying to fly him into East Lansing tonight. So he can play center. I tried Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but he's busy tonight.
Yeah, that's tough. When you got to go against some big guys like that, boy, that really makes it hard, doesn't it?
It really does. And to compound the issue, Earl, they're well coached by Carlton Valentine. You know, yeah. Carlton was an undersized warrior when he played, so he knows the ins and outs of the inside game and how to get guys to play. I mean, for the last 3 years, Carlton's done a great job at Sexton. And also, Earl, I do believe they have a player eligible tonight, a transfer from Jackson High in Jeremy Williamson. So it's going to make it extra tough tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a guy that's transferring in, isn't he?
Yeah, Jeremy's a very good player. He's a great kid. I've known Jeremy since he was young. He used to come to my camps at Jackson Community College. And with him now in their lineup, they're gonna have another guard who's gonna push the ball up the floor and enter it into the big guys.
Boy, that makes it even doubly tough for you. So what is your basically your general plan? I know you can't talk specifics, but what is your general plan when you're a small team going up against a large team like that?
Well, I'll tell you, there's really no secrets, Earl. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, put too much emphasis on what they're going to do, and they don't want to tell anybody. But the bottom line is, Earl, we have to put a lot of pressure on their guards. And with that being said, we got to play some zone defense, and we got to pack it in tight. And we just got to hope that we can apply enough pressure to make it difficult for their guards to enter the ball into the post if Trevor and Jalen Hayes decide to post up.
And then, if that happens, in your guards, do you see yourself putting a lot of pressure on them, or at least playing a lot of hard man-to-man defense?
Well, we're going to try that. If we get down in the third or fourth quarter and we're running out of time, we're definitely going to probably switch to a man-to-man. But the one thing you got to keep in mind, and for people who come out to the game tonight, it starts at 6 o'clock. Jalen Hayes and Trevor Manuel, they can handle the ball pretty well. You know, Jalen verbally committed to go to Oakland University, and they're both versatile players. They can go out on the perimeter, they can shoot the ball, and they can also put the ball on the floor.
So that's going to be a very tough game. Now, when you're playing against a team that's as big as Sexton, what do you have to do to them to try to slow them down?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to actually try to speed the game up, Earl. That's the one thing we've been talking about all week. We feel we have enough athletes and enough speed to match, you know, their speed. Their guards are good. You know, they wouldn't be on the varsity team if they weren't any good. So in terms of slowing it down, we're really not going to worry about that. We want to run, we want to gun, and we want to have some fun tonight. And the guys are excited. We've had some good practices leading up to this game. And you know what, Earl? We're not going to change much. You know, Al McGuire, the late Al McGuire, used to say, you got to dance with the girl that you brought to the dance. So yeah. That's what we're going to do tonight. Everything we've been doing this season, we're going to stick to it, Earl.
Well, that should be good. It should be a very good game going up against Sexton, which is, as you know, a very strong team, and they run the court very well. So do you plan anything differently at all when you go up against a team that big?
Well, what we do is we want to be a little bit more patient with the ball. We want to make sure we make the right passes. We want to make sure the ball's in the right people's hands. And what we will try to do, we'll try to double-team those guys when they get the ball to make it a little bit more difficult. You know, Okemos gave them a very, very good game when they met this year. But Okemos has a little bit more height than we do. So, like I said, Earl, we're still waiting on Bill Russell to call us back to see if he can come into East Lansing tonight to play some defense and grab some rebounds for us.
Well, that would be a big help for you if you could get if you could get some help from Bill there.
Yeah, oh, there's no question about that.
Well, it'll be an interesting game between. Is this will be your first matchup with Sexton this year?
Yeah, it will be. You know, I thought last season we played them pretty good. You know, Carlton has gone on record, gave us some credit. You know, obviously last year they had a fantastic team. And the one thing about our guys, Earl, at East Lansing, we try to instill some toughness in them. And because, you know, Earl, it really doesn't matter, you know, who you are. Anybody can go out on the floor and play hard for 32 minutes, and it'll always give you a chance to be in the game.
Yes, that's true. And for 32 minutes, you've got a good chance against a very good team. Sexton's always been a good team, and so you'll be up against a powerhouse, in all honesty. And so when you go up against a team, so how do you convince your team, or what do you have to do to convince your team that you've got a chance to win when you're going up against such a powerhouse?
Well, you know, it's a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on the strategy and the X's and O's in the game, but it really comes down to being inspired and being motivated to play at your best ability. You know, we want all our guys to give 100% tonight, and we want them to believe in themselves. Like our last couple of days of practice, we've been working on free throws, we've been working on the confidence, and you know, part of our job, Earl, is to get these kids inspired and to tell them, you know, every time you step on the floor, it doesn't matter who you are, you can win the game. You know, we always try to give them some examples, like NC State years ago beating Houston when they were underdogs. You know, the underdog has come out and won a lot of games. So
sure.
It's all about believing, Earl, and I know it's a cliche, but, you know, the Tug McGraw, a former pitcher for the New York Mets, the late Tug McGraw, once said, you got to believe. So we got to believe tonight that we can win this game.
Yes, that's what you got to do. You definitely have to believe. Give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And Steve, that's the thing. You're coming up against a team that's bigger and supposedly stronger than you are. So what do? You don't try to fool the kids in any way. You just tell it like it is. You don't try to really fool them, do you?
No, you really can't, Earl. You know, they're well-versed. You know, Trevor Manuel's a very good player. And like I said earlier, Jalen Hayes is a very good player. And now they have Jeremy Williamson out there. So that's a strong three-headed monster. And, you know, you throw Carlton on top of that, you know, it makes it extra hard. You know, we're not going to try any gimmicks. We're not going to try to trick them with, you know, Carlton knows what to expect tonight from us. He's probably telling his guys that we're going to play hard and we're going to give everything they got. And our guys, Earl, we don't have big-name guys, but we have role players who really fill their niche, guys like Javon Haynes and Akil Mitchell and Ahmad Newsome. And a young man by the name of Grant Euchre, who's really been shooting the ball well. So, well, the bottom line is you just got to stick to what you do best and try not to do anything different and try not to trick anyone.
Now, do you have many football players on your team?
We have five football players, and that really, really helps us. You know, I learned this from Tom Izzo years ago when Coach used to talk about his football guys and loved recruiting guys like that. Earl, football players bring a different mentality to the court. You know, obviously
yes.
They bring the toughness, but our football program is a winning football program. Coach Faraco has done a great job, and he's instilled in those guys a winning philosophy and a winning formula. So there's a lot to be said about a kid, a high school athlete, who has that winning, you know, formula inside of him, and it really helps you in games like tonight.
Okay. Once again, give us a call, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Steve, let's answer a few questions, and let's go to the phones and see what some of the people have to say.
Sure.
I know you've got a tough one coming up, so let's go in and hear what some of the folks have to say. So, hello, you're on the air with us. And let's see. So just answer the question I'll pose to you. You know, it's just that it's a tough game, and it's going to be a very tough going. And what do you say to kids or to teams when you know it's going to be a tough game, but yet you're going to have to try to play it at a good pace?
You know, I tell them, you know, these moments, you don't go through them your whole life. It's one and done sometimes. You got to get out there and you got to live it up, man. You know, you got to come high energized. You got to be a great teammate. You know, when things go wrong, Earl, that's a big thing against really good teams. Like when we played DeWitt the other night, we had the lead for almost three quarters of the game, and then Ryan Anderson went bananas with his three-point shooting. You got to keep your composure in games like this tonight because you know what? There's going to be a nice crowd there. You know, the atmosphere is going to be festive. People are going to be excited and juiced up. Your players got to keep their composure when you get down by 5 or 10 points.
I know we've talked about this before, but how do you feel basically when you have guys transferring in or transferring out? I know we've talked about that in the past. How do you feel about that in once again?
Well, I tell you, it's tough. I've been at East Lansing now for almost 3 years, and I haven't had one transfer. You know, we've had kids, you know, come to us, and, you know, we're school of choice, but they still have to get in a lottery to attend East Lansing High School, and it's never worked out for transfers. I know a lot of schools in the area, they get some transfers every now and then. You get some guys move in. You know, Holt has a really good player from Grand Rapids, and now obviously Sexton has Jeremy. You know, I think Grand Ledge has a transfer. I have no problem with it. I think it's getting a little out of control, especially at the collegiate level. You know, the biggest thing as a coach, Earl, is you got to remember your guys that you have that have been with you for a year or two. You know, you never want to push anybody aside when someone comes in new to your program. You know, you got to get the message across to your current players, hey, this guy's going to come in and he's going to help us and he's a good teammate. It's a very difficult situation, and luckily I haven't had to deal with it since I've been at East Lansing.
And you've had some very good players, very strong players coming in, and that helps a lot when you have good, strong players coming in to help your program. It certainly does. So when you bring in these good players, how much does that help you, or do you have to try to measure how much they'll help when they do come in?
You know, it's tough. You know, I've talked to some coaches about it, and some guys, you know, sometimes they're a little hesitant about a new kid showing up at their door. You know, like this past summer, we had a young man from Louisville, Kentucky, who was visiting his dad, who lives in East Lansing, and, you know, he came to a couple of open gyms, and we thought he was going to transfer in, but he wound up going back to Louisville. And you talk to him a little bit, you see how he feels, and does he like his new teammates and stuff like that, you know, so... It's tough, man. You better have a psychology degree before you accept any transfers.
Yeah, now, that's one thing that I know I've come to know a lot more about than what I used to. When you get a lot of kids transferring in, how much does that help? I mean, kids have to get along, you know, to become good friends and such. How much does that help when you have kids coming in, transferring into your school?
Well, I think it helps a lot, you know. And like I said, I still haven't experienced it at East Lansing, so I really couldn't really quote, you know, you couldn't quote me on this one. But I'm sure it's typical, Earl. When I was at Jackson Community College, you know, we had a transfer, and he got along with everybody. It's all about the makeup of the person himself. And so I really couldn't. You might have to ask Carlton Valentine about that, because he's had a couple of transfers over the years.
Now, that's the other thing I was going to ask you. What's the difference between coaching at community college and coaching at high school? What's the biggest difference besides the players are older?
Probably the number one difference is obviously recruiting. You know, you can go out and you can get players to fit your style, as opposed to the high school level, Earl, where you start with the feeder program and you try to instill your system and your philosophy. And you're around the kids a lot more, you know, like when they're 7th, 8th graders, 9th graders, obviously, you're around them. You have them at summer camp. With junior college players, you recruit them, and you really, really don't know what you're getting. You know, you don't know what kind of work ethic they have. I was so proud of one of my former players last night at University of Detroit playing for Ray McCallum. He scored 36 points against Valparaiso last night. I had him at Jackson Community College, and a young man by the name of Nick Minerath, who's a 6'9" power forward. And, you know, you also keep, you know, lasting relationships with these kids at both levels. You know, you want to get to know them, and I really think that helps when it comes, you know, time for the game to get started.
Okay. And the time right now is 22 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
How long can the flu virus live on a Subway pole or an apple from the grocery store? I'm Flora Lichtman. Join me on Science Friday for a look at flu ecology, where it lives, how it spreads. And what are your strategies for staying healthy? Doorknob avoidance, perhaps? Plus a light powered entirely by gravity. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's NPR coming up at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon, I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Snow is likely today, not much accumulation, though, the high in the mid-30s. Tonight, turning partly cloudy, a low of 28. Saturday will warm up to 41 for a high, mostly cloudy and maybe some light rain tomorrow. Cloudy Sunday, a slight chance of afternoon snow and a high of 22.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons, call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. How do you see the high school basketball in the Mid-Michigan area this year, Steve?
Well, obviously, when you look at it, especially our conference, you got to look at Holt. You know, they're doing a very good job. Matt Essel, you know, he had a couple of freshmen and sophomores up on the varsity the last few years, and now he's starting to see the improvement with his guys. He's done a great job there. And obviously, Jeff Wong out at Okemos has done a great job with his team. But I'm going to tell you about a couple of players outside of our league. And one is Ryan Anderson from DeWitt, who's a great outside shooter. And then there's a young man out of Pewamo, Westphalia, by the name of Nick Spitzley, who's a very good guard. So there are good players around the area. You know what happens a lot, Earl? People always ask me, hey, is the talent down in the Mid-Michigan area? And I look at them, and I kind of like say, well, who's giving you this information? Are you out there watching? Earl, we've had some great players come through our area here in the last 10 to 15 years. You know, we've had guys like Marcus Taylor, LaDante Henton, the Valentine brothers, you know, Goran Suton, Derek Nelson. It's very, very hard to have guys keep coming through here that are just as good or better than those guys. I mean, those guys are, you know, you're talking about LaDante Henton, Big East, you know, rookie, freshman of the year last year. You're talking about Goran Suton, a big-time player. You know, Denzel Valentine, I mean, starting at Michigan State now. It's hard, and it bothers me sometimes when people say the talent is down. Earl, the basketball is as great as ever. It's competitive, and it's really, really well coached.
That's right, and just give us a call. Talk sports with us at 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And you know, Steve, this is the good part about the Mid-Michigan area. It's been a long time, and I know I haven't said it in a long time, but we've had good, very good basketball here in the Mid-Michigan area. It's been really special, and I don't know if I should say it enough, but we've had very, very good basketball here, and it's been in and out, year in and year out. The basketball has been outstanding here in Mid-Michigan.
Well, I'll tell you, Earl, I'll put this area up against any other city in the country. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I would definitely put our guys up over the last 10 or 12 years up against anyone. And the couple of things that also stand out about the Mid-Michigan area, Earl, is the media coverage we get. I think it's unbelievably great. I mean, the radio, guys like you and Mad Dog and Tim Stout do a tremendous job. Guys like Nick Chase and Brock Pombush, they have a show every Saturday morning. And then you got News 6 with Fred Heumann and Kevin and Al Martin. I mean, those guys do a tremendous job. And then, of course, you have the Lansing State Journal, who Earl, I think, does a really, really good job with their coverage of the girls and the boys' side. And you, as a parent, as a player, as a coach, as a fan, you couldn't ask for much more. And the fans, Earl, you know, the fans come out to the games. And the other day I'm at DeWitt, and I'm turning around behind my bench before the game, and I'm seeing guys popping out of the woodwork who I haven't seen in a few weeks, and they're there watching our game against DeWitt. So I love the basketball in the Mid-Michigan area, Earl. To me, it's just as good as it has been in the past all around.
Okay, well, let's go to the phones. We've got Jody on the line. Jody, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Earl? How you doing, Steve?
What's up, my man?
How's it going, you guys? A question for you, Steve. You know, have you seen any changes in the high school game since you've been involved? You know, up here in Toronto, it's of course more of a European game, which is a change for me. You know, and you know, more jump shooting versus, you know, a lot of guys taking the ball aggressively to the rack. But you know, what are some of the differences that you've seen in the game since you started, you know, coaching in your time with Michigan State?
Well, I tell you what, I haven't seen much. If I did, Jody, I would say the game has gotten a little faster. And I think the players have gotten a little smaller. You don't have as many. And as I say that, we're playing against two Jolly Green Giants tonight. But I don't think a lot of teams have that natural five-man that they used to have years ago. And I'll tell you what, we've touched on a lot of things today about basketball. I would be remiss if I didn't give the officials, give the referees a shout-out. Because you know what? And I'm not kissing anybody's butt here or trying to win any brownie points. We've had tremendous, tremendous officials in the seven games we've played this year, and not once have I had, maybe once or twice I've had a little problem with some calls, but Jody, to answer your question, I would say the officiating has been very, very good.
Okay, okay. Well, who do you see as a pace setter in the, you know, in the CAAC? You know, like I say, I'm out of the area, so I don't get to the games anymore. You know, and the high school season here has ended because of teacher strikes. So, you know, I guess, well, again, back home, we don't know how fortunate we are that, you know, a teacher strike doesn't stop the basketball or football seasons, you know.
Well, I like Holt, like I mentioned earlier. You know, Matt's done a great job with that team. He's got Colin Jones, Donquell Jackson. And those two guys have been on varsity for 3 years. They've done a great job. And of course, you got to look at Sexton. You know, I was talking about earlier today, Jeremy Williamson, a transfer from Jackson High, who was their second-best player last year. You know, you put him on a Sexton team, and those two are the co-favorites. And you can never count out the Eastern Quakers. You know, Rod Watts does a good job. He has Brian Morton over there. And those guys are going to compete for the top. And, you know, I would have to say, Jody, those three are probably the top three right now that may win the conference.
All right, thanks a lot, you too.
Thank you, Jody. And hey, Steve, when you look at teams that maybe aren't as good, I know Grand Ledge has been said not to be that strong this year.
Yep.
Are there many teams that you can look at and say, "Eh, that this is a team we should win"?
Hey, you know what, Earl? Every coach will side with me on this. I never take any team for granted. You can be 0-10, 0-11. We prepare the same way for everyone in our conference. I will say this. A team that has been down the last couple of years is on the way up. Lansing Everett, the Vikings. Desmond Ferguson is doing a tremendous job with that team. Earl, you can always tell if a team is well coached by the way they play the game. If they play hard or if they play soft. Well, you always got to ask yourself a question when you go to a game. You say, "Would I want to coach those kids out on the floor?" And if that answer is yes, Earl, you know they're a well-coached team. So keep an eye on the Lansing Everett Vikings.
Yeah, that was the first game I went to. I wanted to see them at the first of the year, and I must admit, I was very impressed with the defense that Lansing Everett played. That's a team who hadn't been playing a ton of defense, but they played some very good defense that night. And from what I've heard and seen from some of the other games, they've been playing good defense all year long.
Yeah, they have really been. You know, Desmond, obviously, we all know about his history. And when we played them there about 10 days ago, you know, they played tremendous defense. You know, unfortunately, they missed a few shots. They turned the ball over a little bit. And you know what, Earl, a fact that a lot of people always miss, you know, we're really quick, a lot of fans and media, they're really quick to criticize, you know, athletes when they make mistakes in the game. And we always got to keep in mind, and I got to remind myself all the time, actually my wife reminds me, you know, they're young kids. They're 15, 16, 17 years old. They're going to make mistakes. So the best thing we can do as fans and coaches is just embrace these kids. When they make mistakes, we got to teach them, and hopefully they don't make the same mistake a second time.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Because that's a key thing that, yeah, I think we all make mistakes. I know I talk with so many older people and older fans, and it just seems, I don't know how it seems to you, Steve, but when I talk to older fans, they always seem like they should be playing like pros when they're still in high school.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I watch a baseball game, and I saw Derek Jeter, shortstop for the New York Yankees, by way of Kalamazoo Central, I've seen him drop a fly ball in the infield, and you know, the runners move up, and everybody's looking at him, and he's looking at his glove. And when I saw that, you see guys miss dunks, you see guys miss layups. You know what, Earl? It's one thing as coaches I think we can all get better at, you know, our criticism at our kids. And I'll tell you, I'm guilty of it. You know, I get emotional. I'm excited during games. And it bothers me when kids make mistakes. But I have to realize that, hey, we're all human. I've made more mistakes, Earl, when I was a kid than anybody in this world. So, yeah, that's the one thing as coaches. We always ask our players, Earl, hey, get better in the off season. But as coaches, are we getting better in the off season?
Yeah, and that's the key. If you can come on, that helps a whole lot. If you can get them to come on and work out in the off season. Sometimes I'll see kids that work out, but you know, as you know, Steve, they'll work out a little bit, but they don't work out and do those drills regularly to get better. They may work a few minutes a day, but they won't work wholeheartedly trying to get better.
Well, Earl, here's the problem, okay? It's all about the repetitions. It's about the time you put in. Now, here's a statement that I heard a friend of mine say one time. He looked at me and he said, Steve, you know, the kids today compared to the kids when we were growing up, when we were kids, Earl, he said to me, he said, they're not different. It's just the things and the people around them that have changed, Earl. That there's so many things for kids to do now. When we were younger, Earl, we would just go out, you know, and we would do our thing. Now there's so many different things for kids to do. It's just unbelievable. So it's just, I tell you, Earl, I really don't think the kids have changed. I really think it's the people and the things around them.
Okay. We'll just have to look at that more so and see if we can get more of those big guys on like that, and so that certainly is would be soon if we can get them on and get them on. But many kids, they just, you know, they like to do a little bit of work, but they just don't seem to want to do a lot of work. I guess that bugs me somewhat. I see a kid working out, and they may work out for 5 or 10 minutes, and then they'll go in and play some video games or something like that.
Hey, I'm telling you, there's so many more things for them to do now.
That is true.
If they're out in the driveway and their jump shot is off, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning, they're missing a few jump shots, they say, wait a minute, I'm going to go to the backyard and jump in the pool and go swimming for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and then they go to the country club and they hit the golf ball for a little bit. And then they say, hey, I'm going to go to the movies, take my girlfriend over there. And then they go to the movies, Earl. You know, and then they come back and they're running around the track. There's so many things for them to do. But I will tell you this. Anyone listening that has a kid who has a, you know, potential to be a good player at a young age, there's two things they got to keep in mind. They always have to be honest about their kid's talent. They can't have an overinflated opinion of their kid. And second of all, they really, really got to work hard at it. Like you're saying, Earl, you got to put the time in. You have to sacrifice. Your friends are going to the mall. You know, your family's going up north to vacation. If you want to get better, you want that college scholarship, you better put the time in, because if you don't invest in something, you're not going to reap any rewards.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I'll have you back on again, and we'll talk more basketball with you.
Hey, man, and next time you go on vacation to Hawaii or Bermuda, I'd love to come in and fill in for you one day, Earl.
Okay. If I ever get that far, maybe Jack will let me be on his back, and I can hang out with Jack and maybe get on one of those kind of vacations.
All right. Hey, enjoy that Ohio State-Michigan State game tomorrow. That should be a great game at the Breslin.
Okay. It should be a good one. Hey, thanks
Take care,
a lot,
buddy.
Steve. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Jack, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl, you know, when Steve was talking about the two things that parents have to keep in mind, mm-hmm. I thought sure he was going to say the most important thing is to be sure that you move to East Lansing School District.
Well, you know, that would be a little bit biased on his part, so I guess he couldn't say that. But, hey, you know, we do have a lot of good basketball in the mid-Michigan area. That's one thing I've been very blessed with and thought of a long time. We've had a lot of very good basketball players in mid-Michigan.
Yeah, and you've seen about as much high school basketball as anyone. I have to give you a shout-out for your listeners to know that Earl Robinson is at more events than anybody in mid-Michigan. And when it comes to high school sports, I think you've probably seen more high school basketball games than anyone who isn't paid to do that as an official or a coach.
Well, it's been quite a few. I don't know how many, of course. I don't know how many I've been to, but I've been to quite a few of them, and we have such good basketball in this area, in the mid-Michigan area. It's really an honor just getting a chance to watch the basketball. We've seen some. I remember going out to a Williamston one time and seeing a very good game between Williamston and I think it was Hazlitt with another team out there. So you get a chance to see some very good basketball out here in the mid-Michigan area, and it's really good ball to see. And you know, I think we shouldn't take it for granted. I think a lot of fans take for granted the basketball that we see in the mid-Michigan area. They don't realize how good it is.
Well, we could figure out how many games. You know, we could just figure on two games a week or more since you started at WKAR in 1946. And then if we just do the math, we can figure it out.
Yeah, well, I know you like to put it up there a little bit higher than what it is. You love to do that, but that's okay. You can do that. You can make it a little bit higher than what it is. I don't know if that'll help you get in heaven or not. It may not.
I need all the help I can get, Earl.
Hey, now how's your new? I know you got a new granddaughter, so you've got two now. So how's the new one?
Well, you know what that's like. You know the feeling there, and you know, you just look at it with wonder, and everyone says how cute she is, and then they say, of course, she doesn't look anything like you, which I guess in many cases, in my case, is a good thing. So, but mom is healthy, and the baby is 9 pounds, 2 ounces. So, you know, we start basketball practice on Monday.
Well, that's good. We see a lot. We get to see a lot of basketball. I know a lot of fans don't go over to see basketball over at LCC. I've taken in a lot of basketball over there. And Mike Ingram has always a pretty good team he puts on the court, that's for sure.
We missed you over at the women's game last night. You know, I get over there all the time being a women's basketball follower. But that was an interesting game, too. And Clarissa Bell, now you're going to remember this, having watched her play in high school, but she has emerged into just a tremendous college basketball player. And there was a time, even at Michigan State, where people had questions as to how good she would be. She's answered all those questions plus.
Yes, she has, and that's really good because you know, we've seen her, and she's measured up, and she's played very well. And when she gets out on the court, open court, she has played very well. And we don't have a lot of girls don't play that well, but she's one of those that gets out on the court and just plays extremely well. Very proud of her and what she's done. We know she struggled a little bit in the first couple of years, but,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing that we should make a little clear to the fans. For some reason, so many fans, as you know, Jack, they think they should come in and start right away and play 30 minutes a game. Yep. And we know that's not possible, but a lot of them think that.
Good point, Earl. You know, I think it was midway through her second year, and whether the light went on or the game slowed down, whatever you want to say, it all clicked for her. And the second half of last year and certainly this year, she's been a tremendous player for them. So it shows that we tend to make judgments and freeze people in time, but most of us either get better or get worse, and you hope you get better. She has definitely done that, and, you know, you need to have those judgments be somewhat flexible. Nobody's going to come in at age 17 or 18 and be the player they are at 22 if they're getting good coaching and they're really paying attention to the program and trying to get better, and she's done all that and more.
Yeah, and that's good. And that's just one of those very good players that we have a chance to watch and see. What do you hear about Madison Williams? Do you think she'll be able to make it back next year?
You know, I spoke with her very briefly last Sunday. It was after the team had gotten back from Illinois. And she is so positive. She's just a joy to be around. I think she's helped the coaching staff, helps her teammates. And she's determined. If anybody can do it and come back from all of the knee problems that she has had, she's the one. So you can't teach someone to be 6'7". She's got that blessing. And she is determined to make this happen. So it would be a great story if it does.
It will be, because she's a very good player. We saw her in high school, and she was very good in high school, and just hope that she'd be able to continue on in college. And, you know, that's a girl that has just blessed with a ton of talent. And hopefully she'll get a chance to use it, and we'll get a chance to see it one day.
Right. You know, who else has really improved on that team, Earl? I mean, you probably want to talk about more things than just MSU women's basketball. But Jasmine Hines.
Yes.
When she came in last year, of course, she was a prolific high school scorer.
Yes.
And she had to make a major adjustment to the game. But she is so physically strong, and now she's starting to shoot free throws a little bit, and her footwork is getting better. But she's a force inside, too. So Susie Merchant does a great job over there with that program, and I think that they have a very, very bright future.
And that's good. And that's a program that has a lot of potential to be very, very good. And that's one thing I'm very glad to see, that they have a ton of potential to do very good. The other teams are doing well. They're coming along slowly. And she's gotten some, as we know, Jack, she's gotten some pretty good guards in that program. She's been able to keep good guards and get good guards in and year out.
You've got another one coming, Earl. A high school senior who's been a terrific player since her freshman year up in Freeland. Her name's Tori Korkoska. And I saw a little bit of video on her. She looks fantastic, and she'll be joining the team next year.
Wow. That'll be something. You know, I've got a lot of messages here, and we've answered a lot of them. But let's just talk a little bit, because you and I were good friends of Jim Adams for many, many years.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, to me, he was always the number one Spartan. A lot of people call themselves a number one Spartan. I just think there was no one that was better than Jim Adams, the number one Spartan. He just knew so much and had so much information at his fingertips, you know. I used to ask him all the time, how did you know so much, Jim? And he just shook his head, because he just knew so much information.
Yeah, he was a great resource for me, and just tremendous to the community. I thought Jim Adams was an untapped treasure in many cases for this area, but he had amazing service for WKAR radio and television. Of course, a member of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. He did close to 2,000 live Michigan State events. That doesn't count all the time he spent with you on the talk show, and then, of course, with his Broadway show. And he's a kind of a Renaissance man in that way. He was more than just a jock, but he was very friendly to people, very helpful to people starting out in the business. And I don't think you hear a bad word about Jim Adams.
No, you never could.
When someone dies, normally everyone puts on a pretty face and they say nice things. But in Jim Adams' case, I think every word was sincere.
Yes, it was. I mean, you talk about someone who was just so sincere and just so knowledgeable about everything in the world of sports and in general. That's Jim, and you had to say, hey, if you knew Jim Adams, you really knew a good man, and it's worth every word that you knew when you talked about you knew Jim Adams.
Well, he took great pride in you and helping you and the fact that you took over the show that the two of you did and still on the air. How many years now for your show, Earl?
Oh, since 85.
That's 1985. So you're talking about close to 30 years on the air in Mid-Michigan. And,
yeah.
That's an awful lot of talk shows.
Yeah, it is. It's a long, long time, that's for sure. And, We've talked a lot about a lot of things. I know you follow pro basketball a lot, Jack, and that's the thing. When you follow pro basketball, how do you see that? I mean, we know it's a different game from the college game, but how do you see it differently?
Well, I think the NBA has so many games. That's one of the big differences. And, you know, Tom Izzo was talking about going to Atlanta at one point. It would have been a tremendous difference. He could play an entire season, including the NCAA tournament at Michigan State, and he wouldn't be the NBA All-Star break yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're playing every other night, some cases three or four games in 5 days, and very, very different that way. You don't have the same amount of practice time. Of course, the players are in charge there, not the coaches. College is a coach-driven game. The NBA is a player-driven game. And if the players don't like you or you don't communicate well with them, you're going to be gone. It's a lot easier to get a new coach than it is to get a new Kobe.
Okay, well, we got a fan on the stands. I know you know who he is. It's Jerry from Hazlitt. Jerry, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Earl. Jack, it's rare. It's a rare occasion when I can actually enter into a conversation with two individuals that are both my elders. That's a rapidly shrinking universe.
Well, you're pretty up there yourself.
I know, but I'm still in your rearview mirror, Earl, as well as your guest. Gentlemen, Jack in particular, since the topic du jour is the whole Manti Te'o thing, I was just wondering from your own perspective, Jack, I think this is something that I think we'll get more scrutiny is starting to now, and that's fairly or unfairly the role of the sports media as gatekeepers on a story like this. And I'm just wondering if the whole aura of Notre Dame didn't possibly seduce or maybe just kind of lull to sleep some of the big time reporters that were talking to him and seemed to be in contact with the school on this story. I just wondered what your thoughts were on that particular perspective.
Okay, let's go back to the phones, and we've got Jack on the line. Jack, how you doing? I think I shut him off, so better call him back. And we were trying to call him back again, so he's coming back on, and then we'll meet, let him talk. Answer Jerry's question as we had just found out more information from Jerry. We had that, and then we also had the Lance Armstrong show program. And Lance Armstrong, I just had knew for many years that Lance, he wasn't doing the right thing, but they finally got him. And I thought that Te'o knew a little bit less than what he did, but Te'o knew a lot more. So So we knew a lot more about Tao, and I got to thank Dennis for calling in yesterday. He gave us a lot of information on Tao. Tao is a lot, and the woman, he had no knowledge of her, and that was a surprise that he had no knowledge, and that was another thing. So it's just a matter of how many things we know and we don't know in sports and things that go on. And that's one of those things that no one is just known. And so we'll talk more with Jack about Tao, and then, of course, I'll talk a little bit about Lance Armstrong, because both those guys had a lot of information and kept a lot of it to themselves, in all honesty. So let's have to wait and hear a little bit from them a little bit later on. But Jack was different, and he was on, and of course Tao was different from Notre Dame, and that's the thing. Tao, as he found he just went along with everything they had. So let's bring in Jack on to hear about Tao. And Tao, how you doing, Jack?
I'm doing fine. You know, I know Jerry is an important caller, but it's okay. I don't mind being cut off for him.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll have to catch you. Might have to catch you off again for him.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a question about Tao.
Yeah.
What do you make of that situation?
I was really. First, I thought it was just him, and when Dennis told me about how he thought he was such a liar and everything, I just wanted more information. I just wanted to, well, let me get a little more information, and then it came out that he was said that he knew all about this and boy. Our social media today, I guess we've just got to be a little bit more vigilant, Jack. We've got to find out more so about everything going on in the social media today.
Well, I think what happens is that there are very few excuses. Used to be able to keep things, and now, if you do it, you've got to be prepared to see it and read about it. But now we're seeing information this afternoon where people are reporting that he knew nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll believe that when I see it. But in any event, he clearly knew about it before the bowl game.
Yes.
And he had such a horrible bowl game. He didn't play anything like the player we had watched all year. So you have to wonder how much that was impacting his mind. Not to say that Notre Dame would have beaten Alabama. I think if they had played them 10 times, they wouldn't have won.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the way he performed, obviously the guy's carrying this thing around. Whether he knew in December or October, whenever, they had perpetuated this myth so long that it became almost impossible to get out of it.
Yeah, and what about the other one? I mean, I sort of had known, I think we had talked about before, but I wasn't surprised at all when I heard about Lance Armstrong. To me, he was just a guy who just just lived underneath the radar screen and told everybody what he wanted to hear. And it's funny how people, they were so quick to believe him. I mean, it's like when you look in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, people are more skeptical then and more skeptical. But today, people just don't seem to be that skeptical about people very much anymore.
Well, I think it shows you, whether it's drugs or lies or anything else, what people will do for money and fame.
Mm-hmm.
And say everyone has their price. Clearly, Lance wanted to accomplish some things. It doesn't take away the work he did for cancer research and all the things he did that way. But perpetuating this myth about his physical greatness and how he was able to do all these things without any help, I think now we know the truth with that, and most of us suspected that all along. Would have been one of the great medical marvels of our time if he hadn't had any help along the way. But there's a public relations professional in the area I have a great deal of respect for. I don't know if you've met her. Her name is Kelly Rossman.
Mm-hmm.
and she has a theory about apologizing for what you do wrong. We're a very forgiving society. We've seen that with baseball players and athletes who've had fifth, sixth, seventh chances. And if you make a mistake, but you own up to it, and you make amends and correct it, the public will forgive you. They'll actually root for you. You'll be a sympathetic story. But if you perpetuate the lie, then you dig yourself a deeper hole. And I think that's what Lance Armstrong did for more than a decade.
Yes, he did. He dig himself a very, very deep hole. And it just seemed like there was no way out of it. But he tried. And that's the thing. He tried to dig himself out of it. I don't know how hard he tried to dig himself out of it. But he did try. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he... And see, that now this is the thing, Jack. Will he try to pay all that money back from all those suits? He won a lot of suits because he sued a lot of people.
Yeah, he's going to have legal issues for a long time. Advertisers and people that he went after. He went after them with such venom. He tried to ruin a lot of people's lives to cover this up. So, you know, you have to question his character in many ways, not just the drive for competitive excellence that we see so many athletes, the trap we see him falling into.
Mm-hmm. It looks like we have another firing in the NBA. The Phoenix Suns says the team and coach Alvin Gentry have mutually agreed ways, part ways, that is. Gentry had coached the Suns since replacing the fired Terry Porter at the All-Star break from the 2002 and 2009 season, compiling a 158-144 record. His 2010 squad, led by Steve Nash, advanced to the conference finals. And that's the thing about basketball. I tell you, that's a job I would take for any team from anyone, because, you know, the chances of you, there are only six or seven teams that can win. So you just need to take one of those jobs for as long as you have and make sure you have yourself a very good buyout clause.
Right. Well, I don't know what Phoenix thinks they're going to get. If you trade away Steve Nash and lose him and Amari Stoudemire and you don't draft particularly well and you're playing in the Western Conference, you're 14 games over 500, how good are you supposed to be?
Yeah.
I mean, would Phil Jackson have come in there, or the greatest coach in NBA history, and significantly changed that? Would he have given Phoenix a couple NBA titles? I doubt it.
Yeah. Do you think Phil's going to come back and coach it all? I've heard some rumors that he might, and I've heard rumors that he wouldn't, that he's not going to coach. Do you think he might come back?
Well, he certainly doesn't have to. And, you know, he's 70 years old or pushing it. And why should you come back if you've got all those championships, unless you're just deadly bored or you're a competitive junkie and you need that fix? Mm-hmm. So, if I were him, I would be very content with what I've done, and it would take a perfect situation. Certainly, money is not an issue.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that's another thing. So, heck, we've talked about a lot of different things, Steve, that's for sure. Got a couple of more coaches that have gotten jobs. The Chicago Bears have hired Matt Cavanaugh as their quarterback and Skip Peters, their running backs coach. So the Bears have got a couple of new coaches in there.
Yeah, and they brought Mark Trestman in from Canada, from Montreal, as head coach. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out.
It will. Hey, thanks a lot, Jack. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll talk again next week. We'll probably talk over the weekend as well.
I'll see you tomorrow night at the basketball game.
Okie dokie. Yep, bye-bye. And that's talking with Jack Ebling and talking sports with us right here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870. WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. Come back and join us tomorrow. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and we'll look to hear from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.